All right, internet depravity, 1.A or 1.2, here we go. I got lots of stuff. It's gonna come off a little almost like school presentation-y at first. There's really no way around some of the facts of it. Hopefully I'll be funny enough and entertaining so it won't be super boring, you know? You all have vanilla folders? You all have them? Okay, hold on. This is a trust exercise. So every table should have an equal amount of folders for each person sitting at the table because I'm observant. When you open that folder, there's one piece of blank paper. Take out the one piece of paper, close the folder. Right, close the folder. If you're a note taker, that piece of blank paper, it's even titled at the top, Internet Depravity, so you'll remember where it came from. Use that paper for any notes from me today. Close the folder because it might help you cheat on the test later, or our activity later. For notes, I want to say something to you. I'm in a season in my life where I don't take a lot of notes in church anymore. I think if I'm writing, I'm not good at like shorthand, so if I'm writing a lot, I will miss something. So for me, usually I'll go back to the Thursday notes, listen to a sermon again or whatever, and then I'll start making my own notes from there. I don't have my outline or anything like that available for it right now. I'm going to talk to Marianne on Monday, so you can email from her. It might look like it's from me, but it might be from Marianne Perry here at the church. My plan is actually to email everybody signed up my full set of notes, exactly what I'm reading from, with all the content, whatever. So if you miss something today, ask about it. But if you miss something, don't think it's the end of the world. Take the rest of the weekend, think about it, pray about it, whatever. And it'll come like Monday, Tuesday, you're going to get 14 pages of all the stuff we're going to talk about today. And then beyond that, I just want to say, you know, coming to the church, we love this church. And it's awesome how God will continue to show us reasons why. My heart for youth ministry is really like, I love working with kids. But I think in family ministries, lots of churches will talk about having a family ministry department, but really family ministry is strictly a youth ministry, right? It's like it's a big umbrella, but it's mostly just youth stuff, right? I love that Ransom is one of my great friends in a short amount of time, just a great, hopefully lifelong friend. But I love his passion for what it is that he's doing. So we're really looking to take family ministry now and fully make it what we think it should be, you know? So we are here to come alongside you guys, to be with you guys, not just your kids. And I just love that about our church and the leadership. And it's in all of us. It's Elise, it's Lauren, it's everybody. Jonathan, I mean, that is the heart of this church, this community. And I think it's just great. One reminder from a youth perspective is today we're talking about, I think a lot of us are thinking about, our kids, right? Because it's easy to think about, I want us to think about all kids, right? Because we want to think that our kids are good. We want to think that our kids aren't making bad decisions. We want to think that our kids are doing good things. And then it's easy to think that it's other kids, that it's their friends, that's all their influences. Understand that the same way those kids outside of our house are influencers, our kids are influencers too, right? So we need to be mindful to be kind to kids in general. Because I see a lot of times, I meet with parents all the time, and they wanna just encourage little Johnny and Susie in their own house, but they wanna condemn all the other kids in youth group like it's everybody else's fault. And my encouragement to them is, hey, we all are in desperate need. We all are in desperate need of salvation, all of us. And all of us have different paths and different stories. We all have to start somewhere to end up where we're supposed to be. I've been saying that for a long time. I probably stole it from somebody else, maybe not. We want to start somewhere to end up where we're supposed to be. You know what I mean? So don't forget that in the context of kids, okay? So, internet depravity, some practical stuff. I'm going to start with just some simple internet stuff. Internet's kind of fading away, but it's not. It's coming back, right? So we've got smartphones, we think about apps and all this other stuff. The truth is, all of that stuff is going to be connected to the web in some way, shape, form, whatever. So the first stuff is the stuff that really just it hurts my heart. It makes me angry, frustrated, upset to think about abuse, sexual abuse that kids will incur through these type of platforms. So did you know? I think I have a slide for this. Oh man, scary. The visual's a little scary. Right? It's a little scary. But this is a reality, right? This is a reality because kids don't have to go outside to interact with somebody else who's a creep, right? They don't have to go outside for it. That's in the palm of their hand, that little 4-inch screen. They've got access to all kinds of things in the world has access to them. Fact one, or statement one, or statistic one is probably more correct. Most of this is from 2016. If you Google me, it's hard to get all this stuff current. It can take so long to compile it. 1 in 7 youth internet users have received unwanted sexual solicitations. 1 in 7. That's terrifying. I was over at the nursery and the other childcare today. There's probably like 20 kids over there. 20 kids. So that means roughly 3 of those kids, if we put them all on a phone or a computer, 3 of those kids have gotten unwanted sexual solicitation. And when they say solicitation, it can be anything from like a pic to like suggestive conversation to anything weird or gross. That's scary, right? 1 in 7. 1 in 25 have received an online sexual solicitation in which the solicitor tried to make offline contact. It's scary too, right? So a lot of times we think that we're doing things anonymously that people don't know or don't understand. If you're savvy enough online, there's all kinds of ways to figure out where information is coming from. And if you see people back, you can find locations, phone numbers, whatever. So people will go to all kinds of lengths to seek out Johnny or Susie or Mr. or Mrs. whoever who's online, and all of a sudden that's coming back, right? Scary. Of the cases involving internet-initiated sex crimes, 76% of the first encounters of a predator took place in an online chat room. We want to think of chat rooms as the things that we grew up with, right? When I was getting older, or like growing up, we had dial-up internet, and like a chat room was a big deal. You go on and all these things. Here's the thing. Chat rooms now are all over. They're embedded in our video games, they're embedded in our apps. There's all kinds of ways to chat. Parents, all the time. And hey, parents, it might be harsh. I'm gonna get to the togetherness, right? So if it comes off harsh, it's me too. My wife will tell you. She will tell you that I fail as a dad on a regular basis. She will tell you. So no encouragement is here for us. 76% of first encounters took place in an online chat room. We'll take away as parents, we'll have to take away the phone, and we'll let Johnny, Susan use the computer to play games with it safer. The truth is, if we don't know what they're doing on that computer, chat rooms, it's almost like fashion, right? How many of us have seen clothes that we wore when we were in high school? It's cool now, right? Same way with this type of technology. When we take away what's cool today, the kids know that what worked 10 years ago still works today. They'll go back to it. 27% of incidents, solicitors ask youth for sexual photographs of themselves. Awful, right? There's no more like the realness of personal interaction is gone, right? So when we have to look at somebody and I'm talking to you face to face, it's gonna make me feel like a creep sometimes based on what your reaction is to me. When we're online, we don't have that anymore. I'll talk about that more in the kid interaction. So people are asking kids, 27%, 1 in 4, they're asking for pictures. Even if Johnny and Susie doesn't give that to them, you know what that's doing? It's creating a normalcy of it. Because now they've known, hey, so-and-so is asking me for this. So-and-so that I don't actually know, but I trust from online, is asking me for this. Maybe it's normal. So it might not work the first 2 times, 3, 4 times. But 27%, they're going to be asked. So sooner or later, down the line, it's going to be normalized to them. 47% of the cases predators offered gifts or money during a relationship building phase, right? So these people online, they're gonna work to build a relationship. They're gonna work to build a rapport, right? When I was younger, my grandpa used to always say, like, you know, you'll know who somebody is by who their friends are, right? And you'll know who, you know what's going on. Your kids are like, who's involved in their lives, right? We have an obligation, moms, dads, to know more than just they're on their computer or on their Apple iPad or Kindle. We have an obligation to know what's on the other end of that. Do you know what I mean? That person is working hard. That person could be working so hard to build a relationship that's going to cause destruction, right? They're working so hard to do that, 47%. Man, I hate this part. Of respondents to a survey of juvenile victims of internet-initiated sex crimes, the majority met the predator willingly face to face, and 93% of those encounters involved sexual contact, right? Most of these kids, almost all the time, they can make a choice, right? If they're 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, they can get on a bike, they can have a friend, they can have somebody else. We've had kids in this community, right? They met somebody online. They were found in another state by God's grace and came home, and they were okay. But these things happen. Right? These things happen. right? And you know, moms, dads, that mom and dad, they felt horrible. There was a failing. And here's the thing, and we're going to get to it. The failing is that we can't help ourselves, and we need something else, or we need Jesus to fill that. 11% of those teens who were involved in sex crimes, 11% of teens have shared naked pictures of themselves online or via text message. So that's 1 in 10. I'll tell you, that stat is from 2016. I'm going to tell you, I meet on a regular basis. One of the best things about my job is like I have access to all kinds of kids outside of my ministry reach from the school. I meet with kids on a regular basis from 5th grade through 12th grade. 5th grade, I promise you, encounters probably had more of these issues than the other classes because the other classes are better hiding it. The young guys, they don't know enough to hide it, so they get caught more for sending naked pictures. It happens all the time. I'd say the 11%, when 2018 numbers come out next year, it's going to be scary how much bigger that number is. Moms, dads, grandparents, it's scary. And it's just the world, right? The world's trying to tell us that this stuff is normal and it's okay. We've seen everything be hypersexualized, right? And it's awful. It's because it's an attack on us too, right? Not just our kids. 26% of those kids, because they're just, God, kids just want to, they just want to believe, right, that people are trustworthy, but they're not. 26% of those kids do not think the person who they sent the picture to will share them with anybody else. Thank you for laughing. 90% of youth-produced sexual content is being shared on a third-party website. So for any of those cases that we know about, yeah, Axum's like there's a little part of us that are dying because I get to meet with Axum on a regular basis, right? 90% of those pictures that are sent in private text on Snapchat, on any of the social media, 90% of those pictures, and yo, it's the World Wide Web. We might not ever see that picture of Johnny or Susie online, but I guarantee you, somebody else is. Well, I 90% guarantee you, somebody else is, and that is scary. Scary, scary, scary. Can I do that? I feel like I can do that.
It feels
like
that.
I did. I totally. I learned so much from Ransom. I got that from Ransom. Just go on. They're good. That is the truth. You probably got it from the data later, but I don't know. All right, so the internet, moms, dads. How do we protect our kids on the internet? There's a lot of things that can go wrong online. You can be searching for a really simple, innocuous website that has no damage, and you misspell, or you've got a little bit of dyslexia like I do, and you put literally the wrong word in, and I'm gonna say, moms, I'm gonna say words that are gonna be weird, and I'm gonna apologize. My face is gonna turn red, I'm gonna be uncomfortable. It's really gonna be strange for me, but here we go, right? You can put anything in there. If you go .com, right, versus .cum, I promise you, it is a world of things. A world of things you're not ready to see. It is crazy. So all of a sudden, one little mistype, and how do you prevent that, right? We can know where our kids go. We can preset tabs for our kids. We can put things in where these are the tabs you're gonna use if you're gonna use it, right? And click this. Don't try to type anything on your own, Johnny, Susie. Just trust me here, right? And then we're allowed to limit things, right? The world today is telling us that we want to be like our kids' best friends. We need to have an open relationship where they can trust us and do this. And what that's done is it's softened us, right? We are still authoritative in our homes, parents. We are. Babe, I know you're making notes right now because I've got work to do, but it's the truth. We can take those steps to prevent things from our kids. Navigating the site and entering information to proceed. Anytime you have to enter information to a website, they're just gathering information, right? Those kind of sites, probably young kids shouldn't be on. Because how easy is it for a kid to make up a birthday all of a sudden they're 18 years old? You know what I mean? How easy is it? Websites that work as social media apps. We're getting to that in a minute. Online chat rooms, dangerous. Downloading malware. Hopefully your kids aren't downloading anything. You can set all kinds of fail safes, so if something's downloaded, they can actually stop it. You have to put a password in. Do that. Falling for scams. Nothing is free. Our kids, adults sometimes, we want to trust things to be true. We want to trust a source. We want to trust a person. Oh, so-and-so has treated me so well, right? Nothing is for free. Not one thing. Not that app inside the app. Those things aren't free. They all come with a cost some way, somehow. And there could be danger lurking. Game sites that play pretend, those can be dangerous, right? There's lots of that stuff where it's like simulated, augmented reality, where we can be something else and somebody else, right? Sim City started way back, probably before I even knew what video games were, right? There's danger in that, right? The studies will show that the kids all of a sudden they're creating this whole other persona versus what they are in real life because they're pretending to be somebody else online, right? So all of a sudden, they've developed all of these social interaction skills based on the freedom they have for being anonymous on the internet. But when it comes back to real life, they don't have that ability to correctly interact, to read simple social cues, right? They don't have the ability to draw lines that are appropriate because everything to them has been mitigated by the online interaction. Does that make sense? Social media, man, we gotta be mindful of what we see and what we post. Right? I didn't have Facebook really until I came to work here because it just made sense for me to have one. I started some middle school. My wife will tell you my Facebook page went from being like a business thing to there are times where it's just a black hole sucker of my life. Right? We need to be careful of the things we post. We're not the only ones that see it, right? And even though we have privacy settings set up, we're not still the only ones that can see those things. Wyatt's laughing because he knows how this works. He does our tech stuff. Side note. If you check my computer or that one up there in the last like 4 weeks, you gotta talk to me about it. Give me grace. Because I was working for this. there were days where it was really, really sketchy. Really sketchy and not fun. We gotta be careful what we share. Debating strangers in public forums, right? We can see this on right now, the political climate is an easy way for us adults, we can see how this works, right? Where we can tell on each other, or tell on ourselves rather, things we believe or don't believe, we can say really dumb things online, because we've got all this boldness and bravery that we're protected by a keyboard and a screen, but we're not actually having any kind of constructive conversation, we're just typing and pecking away to try to show who's right and who's wrong. Doesn't win, right? Apps within apps, forbidding access to the microphone, photo, and location. All kinds of apps now want to know where you are, what you sound like, the things you like. Yo, I'm gonna give that to the NSA, right? Like if the government asked me for free reign to know what my cell phone was doing all the time, I would say, no way, that's the government. But yet on a regular basis, we kids included, we will give access to apps on our phones to know everything about us. That app's not just tracking you at X location, right? It's not like, why would help me if I'm right here or if I'm wrong here? But that location tracker, it doesn't just say, oh, they stopped, they're here. No, it's like that thing's been following you, right? It's 2018, technology's crazy. It's just crazy. Thank you for shaking your head in agreement. Thank you. So check-in services are bad. Okay, here we go. Gotta stick with the program here. All right, pedophiles and creeps. I think I've got a slide for this. Oh, I don't. Missed my slide. Here we go. Pedophiles and creeps. When we were kids, right, I don't know how many of you were like my house, but we were literally told to stay away from white vans with no windows or blacked out windows. That was a thing. You don't go near those weird vans, right? It's not like that anymore. Right, those weird vans are still applicable, right? Pity on the poor guy that's making a construction living, right? But we still can have those feelings for us. But reality is, pedophiles come in all different shapes, forms, sizes. They don't need that van to go pull somebody in, right? They can be savvy online, and they can make these things happen. So kind of like the thing here is, which way does it look like a predator, right? They all can be. Doesn't matter where you come from, where somebody comes from, what they look like, man, woman, ethnicity, doesn't matter, right? Doesn't matter. The average pedophile is not in the trench coat stranger lurking in the shadows of neighborhood park. The prevalence of pedophiles within professions where children are involved is much greater than ever expected and proves its own point. Case after case, it's seen that the pedophile is someone who blends into society, garners respect as a professional, is clean-cut and outwardly law-abiding. That one's not me. So we're good there. Well, no, I am law abiding. First half. I am law abiding. Sorry.
Now you are.
This one's hard, and I'll be honest, this was really hard to read over and over. Next is most likely male. Usually white, middle age. Uses his position in society as a way to throw suspicion off of his actions, and in fact can rise to become a pillar of society while actively pursuing deviant, evil, sinful, awful fantasy. Very often involved in extracurricular activities or daycare of children. All that stuff makes me angry every time, because those activities and things are things that I love to do, that I'm passionate about doing, that lots of us in this room are passionate about doing. But people inside were inherently evil, and for some folks they don't have any understanding to draw lines or boundaries, and they can't fix what's inside of them, so they fill it with these awful, awful things out of the past, right? But we need to know, look at the doctor of the gym team for the US Olympic team, right? How awful. That guy was a doctor for decades of young girls and boys. And how, I don't even remember what the number got to of young girls that came out. This guy was trusted by parents across our country for gold medal athletes, girls who had no reason not to be confident in themselves. And this monster, if I can say that, completely exploited them, took advantage of his position, and probably worked harder to gain higher positions so he could do what he wanted to do even more, right? That's scary. The average child molester is not a stereotypical dirty old man. It could be a teacher at local elementary school. There's no age range for this. There's no age range for this, right? It's not the stereotypical dirty old man. I don't think I have another slide, do I? Oh, we don't have that. No, we'll get there. I'm not used to doing my own slides. In fairness, because I've got a kid up there that make my life easy. They can be a teacher at the local elementary school, a sports coach, a Sunday school teacher, a concerned neighbor. I thought that was pretty interesting, right? A lot of people show that people, sometimes keep your enemies close, right? Or keep your friends close, enemies close. Or sometimes people that are your enemy will work their way closer into your lives, so they have access in a more intimate way, right? So all of a sudden that veil, that curtain, that facade is built up on a relationship that's built on a false trust, right? A church member or leader, people you trust your child with every day. So why the pedophiles use the internet to find their victims? It's because anonymity is key, right? Nobody wants the world to know these things that they're doing, right? So online, that's almost a perfect haven for them now that's been created, where they can be on there and have all this conversation, all of this interaction, and they don't have to show anybody what their face is. They don't have to tell you what their name is or anything. Right? And for some people, they don't even need the physical interaction, right? Because it used to be that conversation in that chat that's enough. Where they're in complete secrecy, cowardly, to be honest. It's easy, right? That's why they use the internet. It's easy. Hashtags. Man, I love me some hashtags. I just do. Follow me on like Instagram, like hashtag crazy. Here's the thing with hashtags, right? Every time that we put baby's first shower, first day of school, beach day, come check us out, right? Every time that hashtag is used, depending on our settings, you can search that hashtag and see that hashtag from all over, right? If it's easy for us to use to find that information, do we think the pedophiles aren't doing the same thing? When I read that about the hashtags, it literally scared me to death. I kind of waited for my wife to tell her. She didn't know that until today. She probably doesn't. Okay. Just want to go up here now, you can just go ahead. So think about that. Isn't that awful? Because it's something that we think to be good, right? We can think, oh, it's so great to celebrate this first birthday or this little milestone or whatever it is, but there's going to be people out there using that for their own benefit in the most evil, heinous way. The whole letting people know where you are, right? When we do the location markers and all of our stuff. So it's like beach day, boardwalk, right? And you'll see people actually kind of like almost list their physical address. Like First Bath, look, Bayside Lakes, you see it all the time. So when you hashtag whatever that thing is, and there's a location marked to it, guess who else knows what your location is, right? If they know that this certain person that all of a sudden they've got this crazy internet obsession with is at this beach on a regular basis, guess who might end up going to that beach, right? It's scary. It's super scary. All right, so what can we do, parents?
There it is.
We can't do that. We just can't. I'll be honest, it is easy. My two little girls, I've got a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old now, and they've got Kindles, right? And Sunday afternoon, I like nothing more than to drive around a little extra, get little Lincoln to sleep, get little baby Ezlyn to sleep, and give the girls the Kindles, and my wife and I can go to the couch, watch a movie, and she can go to sleep. Right? I love that. I love that a lot. It's a good time in my life, and we've got to be mindful. We've got to be proactive, right? We've got to be working on the relationship with our kids so they can understand where we're coming from. My kids are 8 and 10, and they already think that I'm the worst because they have to come to me for a password to try to get any kind of new thing on their Kindle, right? And they think that there are times where they're rolling their eyes, they're irritated. Come on, Dad, I want this new game, right? But I've got steps for everything to come, and they think if they do forget the password, it's going to come to me in an email either way. Like, Amazon's fast. It's instant. So I will know what's going on all the time. Parents, we can't be oblivious. We can't just want a pacifier for our kids. Because we've all seen it, right? We've all seen it. I was telling somebody in the room, maybe Jonathan or Ransom, my wife was with me. We were at Olive Garden not that long ago. And literally a family of five people walk in. And they sit kind of catty-corner to us. They were all on, mom, dad, to the three kids, were all on a device almost the whole time. So, like, we can want peace, and we can want quiet, and we can want these things, and what's happened is phones and tablets have become pacifiers in 2018, because we can give it to toddlers, and all of a sudden, they're quiet, and they're ecstatic, right? They're just the happiest you can see, right? What happens when kids get old enough that they don't need a pacifier, and we take them away, right? We take them away. We've got to set proper boundaries and be mindful. One of the only things I've seen, right, and I'm really, like, God is just working on my heart since I've had Lily to just let me know over and over that she is his child before she is mine. That she is a gift that I've received because of his goodness and his plan for my life, right? So there's a time where we've got to let our kids get out, because there's a big part of it is that we overprotect our kids and we make our kids so safe in things. Don't hear that in this, right? Send your kids outside to be in danger outside. Send them outside to ride a bike, to play games, to get into fights, to arguments. Send them out into the world where they can experience danger hand to hand, face to face, right? Make them wait to have that device, right? Make them wait. That's that, like the number one preventative thing from all of these places you will see outside of the gospel, because they all leave that out. The number one preventative maintenance step that the world will give you is to delay activity online on the phone. Whether it's in our house, it'll probably be like when, holy cow, Lily's gonna get a license in less than 6 years. And she'll probably get a license in 6 years, and at that point, I know it's terrible. But at that point, she'll probably get like her first phone, because I'm gonna wanna know A to B, right? But there's ways, even still then, moms, dads, where we can limit that. Your kids, you're gonna feel pressure. You are gonna feel pressure. Because you want your kids to have the cool stuff, the latest stuff, what their friends are doing. Your kids, man, we've got little kids. And they already can make you feel bad, right? It's late at night, and they want a snack, and that little lip will quiver, and they want something to eat. But you know if you give them what they want to eat, it's going to keep them up for a longer amount of time. I mean, it happens at a young age, right? They're going to make you feel bad. They're teenagers. They're 12, 13, 14. They're going to make you feel bad because they want a phone, but they need that phone. We've got to be firm in knowing they don't need that phone. Don't grow weary. Parents, keep fighting the fight. They are worth it, right? So what else can we do? There's all kinds of monitoring devices, all kinds. I mean, like, I'm going to list some out, but again, I'm going to send you my notes. There are things, people have created awesome things to keep our kids safe. The Disney Circle, Avira, NetNandy, Covenant Eyes, Teen Safety, WebWater, the McAfee Safe Eyes is really a good one. I like that a lot. Pure Sight, started by Christians. You can kind of tell by the title. It's also good. Cyber Sitter, SpyGen. There are tons of monitoring devices. And just like anything else, you can get reviews of these things online. So you plug this stuff into your technology, and it will limit, access, prohibit. It will update certain people on use done on these things. So you can have an idea of what's actually going on. In your Apple text messages, right? You can actually set up moms, dads for your kids' phones if you give them one. You can set up in the Apple phone. I don't know how it works on iOS. There's an engineer here that can tell you because it's super complicated. Right? But in Apple, you can set up iMessages to be sent to your iAddress. So even though it's going to go to Johnny or Susie's cell phone, you can get an iMessage of that text. So you will know what's going on. You got two options. You can let Johnny, Susie know, hey, I know what's going on. Or you don't have to tell them. Your mom or dad, right? It's not Russia. You can spy as much as you want. I'm not going to judge you for it. Okay? I'm not going to judge you for it. That was for Jerry, maybe. I don't know. Cut that, baby. Blocking pop-ups in Safari. For almost any type of phone or any access to the internet, there's a setting to block pop-ups. You just literally go to your settings, you go to your internet setting thing, you hit block pop-ups. It will block the pop-ups. How many of us have been, I love sports. Go to any sports site, linger for 90 seconds. You're gonna get pictures of girls in bikinis or less, all the time. Block pop-ups, right? Johnny or Susie, they're gonna want that stuff. Grown men or women, we're gonna want that stuff. Somewhere inside of us innately is a sinful nature, right? So if we can eliminate that, right, it doesn't fix the problem, but we're building in things there where we can limit access. Fair? Boom. This one's pretty cool to me because it's really, it's simple, and I don't think it feels as weird as maybe getting all the text messages. Turn on your iCloud family account. You can turn on an iCloud family account. Do I have a thing for that? Oh, no, that one's good too, though. I'm gonna do that every time, I think. Dude, it's fun.
It's nice line up there.
Oh, don't
tell.
It's better. This is better.
Okay.
All right, so again, this is an iPhone thing, but other versions of cell usage will have some kind of cloud type setting, right, where you can store information up, right? So you should be able to turn on a family setting where you will know the things downloaded, you will know the things that have been seen, viewed, whatever. It's awesome. Apple gives you that. A parent that asked a question is not here today. They asked me, how do I enable YouTube safety? Oh no, this one is here. YouTube safety mode in your computer. I've got a step-by-step breakdown of that on my notes. YouTube is taking over the world, right? Kids today, they barely can watch TV. They can watch YouTube from their phone all the time. I watch them on YouTube, it's pretty funny, right? Dad jokes makes me laugh, okay? A little inappropriate though, moms, dads, Cully, don't judge me. Right? So turning on safety mode in YouTube on your computer will help filter videos that may be inappropriate for children. So how do you do it? One, you launch the browser window for YouTube, okay? There's a blue signal, right? A little blue sign top right corner, and it prompts you to sign in. Once you sign in, you can go to safe mode, right? So it's going to say lock safety mode on this browser. Yes, as soon as you do that on YouTube, it's going to lock it also on Google. So it's pretty cool. Now all of a sudden, you're safe mode on YouTube and on Google because it's synced up. Don't ask me why. They probably work together. Google probably owns that. I don't know. But that's just the truth, right? I'll have it in my notes. So you know the parental controls are activated when you do a search. Say at the top of the search results will be a phrase. Some results have been removed because safety mode is enabled. I'll tell you, if you've got kids now on YouTube, set this mode right now on their phone or set it on their computer and see how long before they come back and they ask you, why can't I do this? And you're going to be like, oh, what are you doing? You're going to know right then. You're going to know right then. They're trying to access something that's not considered safe. And I'll be honest, if YouTube doesn't consider it safe, there's a good chance we really don't consider it safe. You know what I mean? Hiding apps. Boom. I know I've got it. Hiding apps. Everybody has a calculator on their phone. And now, it was almost prophetic when Ransom made a joke about Nick on his calculator on his phone. Do you know that the calculator app has been ripped off over 24 times by other apps to hide lewd and lascivious stuff? So there's all kinds of apps where it looks almost exactly the same as the calculator icon, but it's not. It's not. So your kid can have that right on their home screen. When we can scroll through their home screen, we can see that, and we can figure, oh man, Johnny's working on his math. This is great. No, that is not. That is probably not the case. That calculator app, it's frightening. So like, if you've got a phone with a calculator, look at yours, right? Look at it. It's very distinct, the Apple one. But they're going to continue to take shades of colors, they'll change the shape a little bit, they will make it something else, Inside the app will be what they call like a storage vault, right? So it can be touch enabled, it can be password enabled, it can be multi-layer, like hidden. So even if they open that app, they can show you the stuff that they want you to see. But until they do X, Y, Z, literally combination to get to it, you won't find the rest. Moms, dads, how do we find that out? We just work on conversations, right? We work on gaining their interest. Every teenager does not want to talk to most of their parents. They don't want to talk to me, and I'm pretty cool, right? That's just how it works. Right? Teenagers don't want to talk. They think that they know things, right? And I'll be honest, I sometimes still think that I know things on my own. And that's because I'm trying to do something on my own. And Jonathan Rains will tell you, that's when I fail the hardest, right? Moms, dads, our kids are absolutely going to blow it. They're going to straight blow it with their devices, whether they're 12 or whether they're 22, they're going to blow it, right? And it's kind of like what Elise said, the beauty is when we do fail, right? If foundationally we know the only solution is our Savior, Jesus Christ, then God will do awesome things in our life. He will use that failure for good. So be mindful of the calculator app. Get familiar with your utilities, parents. The little utilities thing, there's a folder for it. There's all kinds of other things. It's not as prevalent as a calculator app, but they'll have like the rip-off, like the settings logo, things like that. All of these things, it's made to deceive people, right? Not good. Never or while using debate. We're almost to the activity. If a website's asking or apps asking you for location, all that stuff, just don't. And ingrain that in your kids, right? I'm going to get back to the gospel. I almost feel weird talking about practical stuff, but it's just the truth. Ingrain that stuff in your kids as well, the dangers of what it is. Not in a way to make them just scared of it, but to educate them. Does that make sense? Because if I'm scared of stuff a lot of times, I want to find out why I'm really afraid. You know what I mean? But if I'm educated, it's going to slow me down in a different way. You know what I'm saying? All right. Game time. So, there are tons of apps. I picked out some that really just burn me up. On everybody's table, there should be a piece of paper upside down. And it's going, or this one's upside, or right side up. It doesn't have a picture. Some of you got two, so no pressure. I want you guys to take probably 5 to 6 minutes, and I want you guys to think about what those apps are, some of them you're familiar with, and on the back, write down what it is. Now here's the opportunity to work as a team. We can have one writer, we can have one speaker, we can have everybody work together collectively. So take 5, 6 minutes, go ahead and get together, and I want you to try to tell me what you think these icons represent. Is that fair? What they represent and what you think they do. What you think they do and what they represent. You might not know some of them. It's okay. And if you don't know, that's even better. Who had this app? Okay, here we go. Look, this is no big deal. It's just a tiny cool sunglasses on like Randy Macho Man Savage. How could that be bad? It's not bad, it's great. What do you guys think, Mr. Axon? All right, who's the speaker at the table? Sorry, I was assuming. Cindy.
Well, it promoted authenticity into online communication by utilizing
Okay, Okay. So that's, after school. That's called after school. Sounds great. After school? Why not? Right? Their homepage, when you go up to the online and look about the app, it says where authenticity meets positivity. That's what it says, right? See how after school fosters creative and fun experiences in a safe online environment. You're going to see a theme in the language used for these sites, right?
Okay. Just as a point of clarification, like, that's a great discussion point. Authenticity through anonymity.
Yeah. Well, hey, young people are being taught.
If your child is old enough, that could be a week-long dinner conversation, yep. Right there.
For sure.
That is just scary.
Government sites. All right. So, what after school really is, right? It's an anonymous app that lets you sign in to your high school by identifying familiar names of students. You can create fake profile names to talk poorly about others at your school or to do awful, naughty things, right? So on after school, it's kind of like, how do you guys have that like neighborhood app where you kind of live in a neighborhood and then you're plugged in to this neighborhood and you have inherent access to this. So after school is the same way. It's gonna try to figure out who you are and put you in the right placement or school, right? So if you go to Covenant, right now there's 132 active Covenant Christian school kids signed up for after school, right? 132. Sounds like a big number. I checked it yesterday.
Is there one for homeschool?
There's not one for homeschool. I've got some numbers here. So Covenant, 132, West Melbourne Christian, small school, 43 kids, Palm Bay High School, 1,058 kids currently using that app right now. MCC, 349, small school. Bayside, 1,201 kids. Heritage, 977 kids. That was at 2:20 in the afternoon yesterday. That are actively online and registered. When you graduate out, when your initial sign-in shows that you graduated out, it kicks you out of your app, right? It kicks you out of that group. So you've got to fake a profile, right? So in this now, you've got anonymity, right? And what happens on this site, we'll talk about parties, about hookups, all kinds of weird stuff. You can hide photos within this app of all kinds of things going on. After school, sounds cool. If you go to their page, their actual full logo is a chick in a bikini with this lion mask on and sunglasses on. She's in a really tiny bikini. That is the actual full logo of this app, right? But it reads out to, especially to like worldly moms, dads, secular families, it reads out pretty okay. My kid's gonna learn about positivity. This is great. No. Who's got this one? A little A. Oh, yes, whoever's got it. Whoever's got it, don't be shy.
We didn't have to say anything. As ask at the time, so we weren't sure.
Yeah, no, it's ask, okay, so it's ask at them. And it's designed specifically to look like other A type of logos, right? So ask FM. Q&A-based website app. It encourages youngsters to talk about themselves and to take and to share selfies, right? Here's the thing. The world is a cruel place. Young people are even more cruel. They don't have wisdom. They don't have time to prove. They don't have social and regular skills. So when we're putting selfies out there to be ranked, do we think it's going to be positive all the time? No. It's not. It's just not. Next. This one. This is familiar, right? Who's got this one?
We got that one.
Instagram, bang, right? Sounds great.
Yeah. You can share pictures, videos, all the hashtag kind of fun stuff. You can like each other's pictures. But the scary icon is that you can follow anyone, or anyone can follow you. So you could, if you wanted to, follow a porn star and watch, look, you know, you could just sign up and do that.
110% right. A danger to social media like Instagram is it's created a lifestyle. People get paid now based on their followers, based on their likes. Content driven, not even a concern. Do whatever you need to do to get paid, right? So what's happening is young people think that this Instagram lifestyle should be a reality. That is a problem for our mental health. It's a problem for our emotional health. It's a problem for our spiritual health, our relationship with God. That kind of thinking is a problem for young people, right? So Instagram, I use it. The filters are cool. My kids look great when I can put shadows on their faces. But we gotta be really mindful, again, of really knowing the pitfalls that are in there. If we share the whole truth, we do in fellowship, our Instagram profiles wouldn't be as pretty as they are. And that's just the truth, right? But the thing is, for the believer, the hard stuff, as we all know, can be some of the most beautiful stuff in your life, because that's when you really see God in action. There's dependence and something else there. Talk to your kids about that. Who's got this one? Try to go fast. Kick. It tells you what it is, right? Okay, here's my wife. She's going to tell me all about it. Yep. So that's pretty much right. Ransom, I think he's used it for like transcontinental stuff.
WhatsApp.
Okay, so either way, Kick is a similar thing. So it's often linked to like Instagram, things like that, other messenger service. It works mostly with your Android stuff. It allows communication with strangers as well. So you don't have to find somebody you know. Through Kick, you can talk to strangers, which I just think is super weird. But there's a whole community of this talking to strangers, because often young people, they don't know better. They don't have anybody they can trust. Like, why not trust a stranger, right? Also, through this, you can share private information, right? And because that's an app within an app a lot of the times, we might not see it, right? And for any of these things, there can be good uses, But the world's a perverted place, and we need to know that, right? Next is this one. I'm gonna try to go quick.
We don't know.
Okay, perfect.
This one. We need to connect.
Okay, you're close. This one's really popular right now. Musical.ly or Musical.ly, whatever it is it's called. You see, all young people right now are using this all over. The whole point of this is trying to gain followers to get more attention for yourself, right? But through this app, people are sharing all kinds of X-rated content. So little Johnny, Susie, whoever, they're gonna be singing the song in the bathroom because this is being promoted. Like, they just advertised this app during the College World Series almost every inning because I watched a lot of it. That's my wife. And this app was being promoted all the time as a place for community, and it's great, but it's not. It's just not, right? Next. This one.
We got it.
Kent.
Okay, Jules.
Omegle.
Yeah.
Yes.
What is it?
It's called Omegle. Omegle. These will all be on my notes, by the way, and then some. So all of these and then some will be on my notes with what I'm going to tell you. Research has shown they really do.
So we have a couple of engineering tables, so we looked it up.
Okay. Okay.
Sure. So it's an anonymous chat app.
Yep.
And you can create random one-on-one chat sessions with strangers without telling who you are.
Yep. So here, it's completely anonymous.
Video chats.
And the whole idea is you go on this app, and you don't know who's at the other end. So it can be set up completely anonymously, right? And you have the option. You have the option of a video chat with a moderator who on their front page, and I love it, I'm going to read it to you. Do I have it? It's called Omegle. Omegle. I might be saying it wrong, but that's the gist of it. Bear with me, put my mic on. Sorry, Wombo. Two new things. This one. Okay. Omegle. I'm there. So their front page is a lot. It's almost like old cigarette ads. On the front, it's super cool. And then it gives you all these disclaimers as to what they can't do, right? So Omegle, you don't need an app to use Omegle on your phone or website. Omegle is a great way to meet new friends. When you use Omegle, we pick someone else at random and you can talk to them one-on-one to help you stay safe. Chats are anonymous. That keeps you safe. This is from them. Chats are anonymous, unless you tell someone who you are. So you can tell, which is not suggested in quotes. And you can stop a chat online anytime. Predators have been known to use Omegle, so please be careful. This is on the front page of their website, right? If you prefer, you can add interest, you can do all that stuff. And at the bottom, look at all of this small print. And basically that small print is like, it's like skydiving. They tell you, once you sign in, we're not responsible. We cannot control human behavior. Whatever happens is on you, the user. Omegle has become a haven for pedophiles. Just a haven, because it is strictly a video-based app, right? What happens on these apps with videos and pictures, which really makes me mad, like I don't want to have an SL moment when I'm talking about where I get weepy, but what happens is these people, right, they will convince young people or other people, they'll convince them to share this picture or this video. And then all of a sudden, when they want to meet that young person, they will use that picture or video against them. I will send this to your mom or dad. I will send this to your school. And then they exploit our young people. And then it's easier, right? And it's awful. Omegle is just a terrible, terrible site. I want to skip a couple, but I gotta end soon. This one. I'll find you with this one. Sorry, I can't even go.
So we think this is
yeah. Private me, right? Private me is great. It is just, where is their homepage? Private me. I know I had it. No, I didn't have it. So private me. Well, private me really is another. It's a privacy app. It's an embedded app where it has all kinds of layers to hide stuff. It is completely designed for somebody who's being dishonest. It talks about keeping things safe in your business. That's not the case. That's absolutely not the case. All that is a facade at the front to make it seem user-friendly and appropriate. That's not the case. I'm gonna skip to one more because it No, Snapchat. If you didn't know about Snapchat, I'm going to go fast and I'm going to ask you. Snapchat recently caught a lot of heat. They designed a Snapchat after hours. Snapchat's everywhere. Snapchat after hours literally just directed you to porn. They took it down after like a week or so of protest. Here's the thing. People are like, oh, they made a mistake. It takes a long time to develop something like that. Is that fair, engineers? It takes a long time. And there's decision making and there's approvals that need to be taking place before all of a sudden you just release something at random. Right? Snapchat does not have our best interest at heart. Right? We'll use it. Kids will use it. Kids use it all the time. Kids think Snapchat, if you don't know, pictures last for 2 to 10 seconds or whatever. Kids think, oh, it disappeared for 10 seconds. I can't see it. Yo, that stuff is everywhere forever. Forever. Everywhere forever. Right? Next, Tumblr. I can't stand Tumblr. Tumblr has created itself a really scary niche. You'll hear kids talk about Never Alone or like emo kids, and you'll see these kids who just are hopeless in life. Tumblr is basically like a video / blog / coming together of things. And there are just huge groups of kids who share in their cutting experiences, who share in their eating disorders, who share all of these things. And what's happening is Tumblr is cool. So guess what is cool? The content on Tumblr. We see kids doing things all the time to hurt themselves, all the time. And these kids all have Tumblr accounts, and they can say, it's just good stuff, I wanna know about these things. What's happening is that knowing about, there's something inside that wants to know about it, it becomes normal in their lives, and they don't understand what's going on, but they don't have another option. They don't have another answer, and parents are like, that's why this, moms and dads and grandparents, is key. Right? That's why this, is because the world's gonna keep giving them all of these things. So we keep giving them all of these things. It's going to tell them, you don't need anything but what we have, right? And that's garbage. This one, ask, I'm not going to use that. That's like a worse word, contact. This one, Yellow. It's now actually called, Yellow has changed Yubo. Its name to Yubo. That's right.
Tinder for teens.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Who knows what Tinder is? Okay. Tinder is, if you hear in songs, in pop culture songs, you talk about swiping left, swiping right. Tinder is a hookup site for adults, where you basically just have pictures and a short profile. You can swipe left or right. You can pick out who's available in my area to literally go hook up with. It's marketed as like a dating or get-to-know website. It is not. This is literally designed for teenage people, for 12 to 18 years old. And it'll tell you on the front page, right? Make new friends. Rate my outfit. Right? It is not that. It is being used. It is being used exclusively. I don't want to say exclusively because I don't know for sure. It is being used the majority of the time to arrange completely random hookups with kids within a certain radius of each other. And that is terrifying because kids think that is normal. Kids think casual sex. Kids think hooking up. Kids think that is normal because they see it around them all the time. Even on this campus, moms and dads. Even on this campus, I promise you. That's all my things. Look how I put a bunch of paper away. Look at all of this. Woo! Okay. Alright, dumb and dangerous. Do I have a slide for that? I just like saying it. Nope. I covered that. Don't need it anymore. Yes, dumb and dangerous. I'm going to be quick here. Tide Pod Challenge. We all read about it. Kids are doing dumb things all the time. And what's happened is now, like when we were kids, I should have made a slide for this with one of my favorite movies of all time. I triple dog dare you, right? Like, before, our challenges were in person, in small groups of people. So the peer pressure was a little bit less, and usually it was a little bit safer, right? Stick your tongue to this pole, it's frozen, right? Now, challenges are being issued by hundreds or thousands of people to one particular person. And kids have this want. We as people have this desire to be wanted or to feel part of something. So how much more pressure is that when you know all of these people are aware of a challenge to you, right? Eating a Tide Pod sounds like the dumbest thing ever. People have done it. There's a new challenge now, I'll skip most of them. I mean, I've got a whole lot of these. There's a new one now where kids are snorting condoms. They're snorting them in their nose, trying to get them out their mouth, they're in one side, out. How dumb is that? But kids, like that is happening right now. Like right now that's happening. And there's probably stuff that I haven't even read about yet, but I'm telling you, this has been a weight. I can't wait to get off my shoulders. It is scary. Okay, look, home stretch, guys. Woo! Man, home stretch, paperclip too. So, this one, Slender Man. I'm putting it up because a lot of us write stuff like this off. If you don't know what this is, Slender Man is a complete myth. But I think it was 2014, two girls in Texas killed somebody else because they believed Slender Man was telling them to do that. Slenderman is completely mythological, made up, pretend, joke of a creature that exists online only, right? He lurks in the background of the gritty black and white photos, a gaunt, too tall figure with skeletal limbs. Some say he lives in the woods and eats children, a kind of demon descended from Eastern European myth. Crap, there's actually a movie about this coming out. There's going to be a Slenderman movie, just so you know, coming out. So these girls believe this was real life and they killed their friend. I believe they stabbed her like 70-something times after alluring her to a private place, right? The point with Slenderman is, kids, their minds are just developing. Even the best kids can be susceptible to bad influence. Does that make sense? Why? Because we have a sin issue, a sin nature. Does that make sense? We need to educate ourselves, parents. We need to know what it is. We need to see what it is that's going on in their lives through these things. It's a lot of pressure. I know, it's a lot of pressure. We're going to fail. Don't grow weary, moms and dads. Cruel and cowardly drives me nuts. This is the main section. The letter X game, man, I just hate it. I don't even need to know it. So the letter X game is like through these social media messenger apps, you will send somebody anonymously the letter X. A person that gets the X, they're supposed to pick somebody else out through the contact group, right, or through your friend group. You take that person and you tear them apart. The letter X then goes out to that person with all of the awful things you say about them. They're fat, they're ugly, they've had sex with this person, they've done this with whoever, and you send that out to everybody in your circle and that person. That game is being played today. Today, that game is being played. And it's awful. It is just awful. Okay, I gotta shut down here. Suicide stats, I'm gonna try to move fast, but really this part really just hurts my heart a lot. In general, 10th leading killer of Americans in the U.S. Of that, there's going to be 44,965 suicides each year. 123 per day is the math. 2016, I got that from the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Adolescents, young adults, 15 to 24, had a 13.15% suicide rate. Let's understand the suicide rate. Suicide rate is based on 100,000 people, right? 100,000 people, okay? So 100,000 people means there's 13,150 suicides in a group annually. Right, for young people. That's a lot. It sounds ridiculous. It's a lot. I didn't make that up. I got double checked it probably 5 or 6 times. That's our country, right? All the time, all over. Right? 10K, 13, 15, 1K, 132, 100 could be 14, right? 100, 14. It sounds weird, right? I checked it like 5 or 6 times. It sounds crazy. CDC gathers information from hospitals on non-fatal injuries from self-harm as well as a survey for data. For every successful, this is from the National American Suicide Prevention Foundation, for every successful suicide attempt, for every successful suicide, there are 25 attempts. How scary is that? So think about our young people. Like, think about our young people. My ears are bright red right now because it just hurts my heart so bad. 25 attempts for every successful one. Or kids, or an attempt could be something small. It could be something super small, right? But there's something inside of them that's missing. That's driving them to that, and it's awful. Alright, so my ending is here. Parents, don't grow weary, right? Don't grow weary. We can forget, we can think, we can assume, we can write things off, we can write a whole group, a generation of people off like they're lost, like this next generation and the one before it or after, they can't do anything right, they're just, the world is too much. They can't overcome it. We overcome because Jesus overcame. Do you know what I mean? Don't grow weary. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. That's just such a gospel picture in one bit. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, parents, in your struggle, right? In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as your sons? And in that, we haven't shed blood yet in our fight. We're not called to do that, right? We might be in a crazy situation, but Christ shed his blood, right, for us. The same way we need that, our kids need that. I give you all kinds of things. Our kids need to know that truth. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. The Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. We've got to be strong and firm. Being a parent is the hardest job, right? It is probably the hardest job. My wife knows all kinds of things about me, but she's known me for a long time, so she can give me a different grace, right? I've got this thing where I want immediate obedience from my kids. I want them to know things and do things. And sometimes that just makes it easier for me to shut off that disciplined side. I'm just going to assume things are done so I can be lazy there. I can be lazy there. We can be lazy there. God's disciplining us all the time. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father's spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful. It can be really painful. It can be painful when your teenage son doesn't want to talk to you because he thinks you made a decision about it. It can be painful when your daughter thinks you don't understand because she wants to hook up with her boyfriend. You know, it can be painful disciplining. It can be painful finding out the truth about your kids. But if we already know the truth about us, and we accept it in our kids, like, we're going to know that we're serving a higher purpose than just our kids. Is that fair? For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it, right? Moms, dads, it's a big ask. The world is never going to stop. It's never going to try to slow down. It's never going to want to give you a break, right? Satan is completely reactionary. God has foreordained all of this. He knows what it is before it happened. He's going to make it work for good because he's already planned it out. Satan sees us doing good things. He's going to see that you took little Johnny's cell phone away. He's going to say, let me get to one of his friends. He's going to show him the same link. Or he's going to send it to him later in a different folder so he can get to it, right? Satan's completely reactionary, right? We have to be proactive, moms and dads. We have to be proactive. The world gives you all kinds of stuff. This is the only one I'll keep, probably. Like a sacrilegious throw it on the ground. We're going to try to do all kinds of things, moms or dads. We're going to get tired. We're going to get frustrated. We need to be filling our kids with the same things that we're getting filled up every day on our own. Right? And that's the gospel. That's being in scripture. It's being in accountable relationships, being in community, where God is being honored first, where that light is showing me the path I need to walk. Because we all will deviate. All of us will. Especially those who are under us, who don't know the things we do, haven't fallen the way we have. Right? They're going to fall. Don't get tired of picking them up. Right? They're going to make mistakes. Don't get tired of coming alongside them. You are going to fall and make mistakes. Don't ever, ever give up. Whether you're grandparents or young parents, don't give up. Don't beat yourself up. You can't save your kids or your grandparents. Only one person can do that. That's all I got.
Love you guys.
I wanted to pray right there, but I got preachy. But
so we're going to do some Q&A. We have a few more minutes. We're not going to end early. Sorry, Scott's vacation.
No.
It's because you did all this. That's why. Before we do that, so at least why don't you come up? But you have these yellow cards. Safety through anonymity. Don't put your name on it. On the front side. We want to know topics, so whatever side you consider the front, topics you'd like to see talked about. We want to keep these loaded up ahead of time so we have time to give them good attention. On the other side, really, this is an experiment. We did a morning session in the middle of the summer. I mean, that seems counter to what our normal church schedule's like. But we want to find the sweet spot for these types of things. So if there are alternative times that would work better for you, or if you can think of, you know what, every other Friday, I just have nothing to do, I'd rather spend 3 hours on a Friday, just put a time that might work better. We want to think through that, but thank you for giving us time this morning. We try to make it worth your time. I think Scott did his job. I felt uncomfortable in a lot of those things, but that's good. That's good. It stretches us. It makes us move towards the cross. And so we've got time. Any questions? We can take probably like one or two questions Before we go, I know that was a lot of information, and I'll send my notes as well, but anything about that last set of content that you'd like to get clarity on?
Yeah. Is there a site that you go that you guys go to regularly that gives sort of commentary or on these kinds of sites?
Yeah, in your folders, you can take your folders home. That I've got two printouts in there. One is literally from, it came out on Thursday this week, of an updated list of like sexy web like apps and websites. So I've got two resources in the folder that will list out apps and really what the truth is behind them. Google is your friend if you're an adult. Google is your friend. You can find all kinds of reviews for these things. But use the content in there will give you insight into all the stuff that I gave you today.
Common Sense Media is a good one. They do movies, TV, video games, apps, lots of stuff. But even just where we're at our table, I made the joke earlier, but when Japheth typed in yellow app, there was a video there that said, is yellow app safe for kids? And he found a slide presentation. I mean, Google truly, within a few clicks, we found what was.
Yeah, and you can do it safe search on, safe search off.
Yeah.
Use your own risk.
I mean, even yesterday I was searching for the logo for
Omegle,
and I just typed in Omegle, and I tell you what, it was pretty brutal to see what was in the. I tried to find the logo, and so just the image search was terrible. So I had to type in Omegle logo to get the logo.
I cut mine a little short because I had so much content. So if I missed something specifically, please circle back to any of us or find me.
You know, I've been thinking about this just as we're talking about it. We're talking about these apps that have, you know, that are extremely dangerous. But I think even there are just even social media is dangerous after. Between 5 years with the youth group here and about 10 years elsewhere, just taking these girls on girls retreats and talking about them. What are some of the pressures and struggles that you have right now? Every time, the first thing is social media pressure. If there are girls in our youth group now that will take down a post if they don't get 50 likes, like really quickly. If they don't get 50 likes, if down it goes. Oh, I guess that wasn't good enough. I'm not good enough. There's one girl I asked, oh, hey, how was your weekend? What did you do this weekend? Well, I was really hoping to have just a quiet, laid-back Saturday. I was in my pajamas for most of the day, and then I realized, oh, I haven't posted anything in a long time. In like a day, I better hurry and go do something. So she got dressed, got her makeup on, she went and took a picture of her doing something fun, and then came back and got back in her pajamas and finished her. Because she felt this pressure, she had to have something on social media right now to get these likes, you know. So even in used in a healthy way, social media is dangerous, that pressure that these girls and boys are facing, that they have to be a certain image or a certain way, or, you know, you've seen some of these girls who just, it's almost comical, taking about 50 selfies, trying to get the right angle, the right lighting, the right this, the right duck lips, you know, to be able to post that one picture on social media that's perfect. You know, there's such a pressure for these girls.
Sorry, I forgot to post today.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to put that out there too. Even used in the right way, these girls, especially from my experience, are just feeling this pressure to be perfect.
I can recall in 48 hours, I'm pretty sure it was, they had a secular family focus group kind of thing with their kids and what they would go through without that cell phone in their hand for 24 hours. And then the filming company watched their kids go through the trauma of it. And then they asked the parents, well, do you think your kid's going to be okay? Oh, sure, no problem. And they, literally, the kids were just nutcases after that 24-hour fast from the cell phone. And
it's
something that we just very don't have concept of.
Yeah.
Without it, what impact it has.
To tack on one of these, I'll get you, Andrew. I mentioned the suicide stuff, but I didn't really wrap it up. If you look at like the last 8 years of suicide rate in that 15 to 24, really 12 to 24, the last 8 years, it has skyrocketed up. And the driver of what people say is because of the pressure, the availability of information, and even on that Tumblr, whatever, the the perceived coolness of it, the acceptance of it probably is better. It is really slippery. Yes, sir, Andrew.
That's not really a question, so much as a comment, but this has been very eye-opening. I was actually thinking that this would be more about the addictive nature of technology and how we help think out. It's really difficult just to box the phone away for a couple hours. So just a comment. Thank you for this. This is just for me. I'm not social online and having this, and so it's a very different. Yeah. I use the internet in a very different way from I did when I was younger.
Yeah.
And just not even learning how to find a way kids are socialized online.
Thank you.
Anything else? Karen.
I just wonder what you think about the struggle between trying to help the online community and the kids, because many times if you cut this all off, they're cut off from their friends. It makes sense that they can't connect in ways that we've been being left out. So is there a way to suggest that they can help in a good way? Because people aren't connecting well in person.
Right.
There's so many doing it online.
There is a healthy way. I definitely think you've got to be involved, right? And I like convenience as a parent. So convenience could be playing a video game where it's multiplayer online. Here's the thing: play the game with your kid and make a decision. If your kids are playing like Call of Duty online together and they're live chatting it, yo, listen to the people that are playing that game. The language is not appropriate. The trash talk is not appropriate. It's not okay. So we've got to make hard decisions. It's okay for our kids not to like us in those decisions. You know what I mean? Convenience as a parent, I'm learning more and more, is a myth, right? Find a way to facilitate community. And it just sounds harsh. I don't know how else to say it, right? We protect our kids, we protect ourselves by trying to stay home and be insulated, right? And it's hard, because when I was a kid, it was morning until night. I could be out with my group of friends. And here's the thing, my group of friends lives in my neighborhood. And now, because of online connectivity, our groups of friends are all over the county. So it's almost like it's been designed where it forces us to that, and then it is a trap. So it's a slippery slope. It can be done, but you've got to be involved. You've got to be proactive. You've got to know the content kind of in and out. And at the same time, though, the same way you send your kid to play with a friend across the street, you don't know everything that's going to happen. You've got to trust that to God for your kid's safety and salvation there. And it's really difficult. It'll be different for every house, right? But it can be done. It just really involves a lot of our participation. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, like I said, they're at a young age, they're going to put pressure on you, make you feel bad, and we want everything that's the best for our kids, right? There's only one best thing for our kids, and it's got to start there and work down.
I don't think he'll mind them saying his name. Ask Matt Godwin. Okay, Matt Godwin just recently graduated high school from CCS. Totally social. He did not lack friends. He has zero social media to this day. So it's possible to have, and he's cool. He's not, you know, yeah, you know. It was his choice. His choice. You know, and one of the things, I can be flippant, I try not to be, but when we first started talking about doing the internet seminar, I said, well, here it is. Don't buy your kids a cell phone. Any questions? So that's my attitude towards it. And I know that the technology is advanced. I know that people communicate in different ways. I text a lot because that's the thing I'm in. You can still buy track phones at Walmart. And I hope my kids are the biggest dorks on the block, because, I mean, because of that. Like I know that, like, even buying a smartphone, if they're not reaching out to do something, someone's reaching in. And so these are all complicated, and in no way do I expect us all to be like, okay, yeah, hard and fast, well, things are changing around here. But we have to at least entertain these ideas and ask God what he wants us to do. We bring in total depravity, we bring in theology because it sets priorities for us. It's not our priorities, it's Scripture's priorities, God's Word. And so are we going to do what Adam and Eve did and exchange what God is asking us to do for our kids for our own hypothesis and testing of what is right and wrong? I'm not saying having a cell phone is a sin. I'm saying we have to do this dance with God's Word and ask what it's saying to us as parents. What's it saying about our kids? What's it saying about who they ought to be and what we ought to do? And are we going to listen to that, or are we going to kick that to the curb for convenience or whatever it might be? I think even some of us just want to be cool, right? Again, it's like we're past our prime, so we want our kids to think we're cool. That's probably not going to happen, but, you know, Adam?
Steve Jobs would not let
his
kids have
iPads. That's interesting.
Yeah, how
ironic. Yeah. He was just an evil guy. So. Steve Jobs would not let his kids have an iPad.
One thing Paul and I are trying, we're kind of at the early stages of teenagehoodness, and so we'll see. We bought a track phone that can text, it can call, you can have some little apps, but we have a lot of filters on there, and that's our home phone. And if Ethan's going to go somewhere with friends, he takes the phone so he can call us. But that's the family phone. So if Drew's going to go to a friend's house, he can take that track phone with him. There's tons of filters on there, so we can keep track of everything. But that's the one family phone. So they can text if a friend wants to text him. Totally cool. They can text that phone number, and they can, hey, you want to come over? That's fine, you know. So we're testing that out. But so far, it's worked out well.
Let's finish with Jonathan, then will you just close some prayer?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Just from a practical point, you know, I have an Android phone for me personally, and just time wasting. I'm actually not all that social on Facebook, but I can waste a lot of time looking, you know, scrolling, the thumb action, everything. Just so it doesn't feel evil, but before I know it, an hour is gone, and I could have spent FaceTime with my kids or Michelle or whatever. So just on a practical point,
that's not a real thing, Julie.
No.
I don't have Android. Don't worry about it.
So, it's not totally foolproof, but I'm saying that it really has helped me personally to not waste so much time on a device. And it really helps with, you know, reducing temptation and everything myself. But,
Before Jonathan prays, something I left out was our sin will become their sin. I can be a real bad phone user. Sometimes it starts off as my email for work or whatever, and that turns into whatever. An hour I'm on my couch versus talking to my kids or mowing the grass or doing anything that's beneficial, right? So, like, there's a call to us, too. Like, we've got to really look at ourselves. You can look right at me, babe. If we've got phone issues, she is, right? We look at ourselves, right? And we can, if our kids are looking at us, right, they're seeing something that's accepted. You know what I'm saying? So, great point, Jonathan.
Yeah. This is great. Father, it's a hard truth to admit that apart from Christ, we are just fleshy. We are hungry for sin and self-lordship, and we have that propensity in our flesh to just do life on our own and be self-sufficient. But thank you that you, through Christ, have given us hope. That you have intervened in our lives, that we don't have to break the weight of the sun.
else